I came across an article that was recently published in the British website and newspaper, The Guardian, by a woman who's part of a group that carries out cleanups herself, who feels very passionate about environmentalism, about making our countryside, making the environment around us beautiful and clean. And she is involved regularly with cleanups in Northwest London. Her name is Leila Tahiri, and she joins us on the line. And Leila, I'll just read a sentence or two from what Leila wrote in her article. She says, "Shaming and denouncing litterers' attitudes doesn't work. It leads to stubborn refusal and entrenches litterers more deeply in their position, reinforcing their negative behaviours. Rather than a blaming, moralistic attitude towards them, towards people who litter, we might do better adopting a more thoughtful and understanding stance. Hello, how are you? Is a much better starting point than don't be a litterer." And I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by Leila Tahiri. Leila, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Radio Kerry on the morning show Kerry Today. First of all, before we delve further into why you have this opinion, tell us a little bit about your own background. I know you're very much involved in the environment and community cleanups.
Good morning, Tressa, and lovely to be here. So I started, I got involved 3 years ago at the Welsh Harp, otherwise known as the Brent Reservoir, which is in northwest London. It's a local nature reserve and it's a site of special scientific interest. And I organised my first cleanup and then just organised all the cleanups after that. And this has been going on for 3 years and we do it once a month.
People might be surprised then, given that you're so passionate about the environment, about making the places around you beautiful and keeping them clean, that you would take this view towards people who litter, that instead of shaming and denouncing them, that we need to understand why they do what they do.
I find it perplexing, if I'm honest. I mean, I don't have kids, but I'm sure many of your listeners have kids. And I ask them whether shaming a child or threatening them or using any of those kind of tactics, do they work better, or taking a more understanding tone, taking a more compassionate tone? And I myself would opt for the latter. And I think it's more effective as well, which is what I'm interested in.
And do you have any evidence of how effective it is when trying to reach out and change the mindset of people who litter?
So the evidence is that for 70 years there have been these anti-littering campaigns, and Keep Britain Tidy has this Don't Be a Tosser campaign that has been very popular and employed by many councils up and down the country. And I mean, I certainly see litter everywhere still. So for me, that means they're not working. And, you know, the root, I can talk at length about the, you know, the individual factors or the societal factors or the systemic factors. But one thing that is really important is overcoming our ecological alienation. So you won't litter somewhere that you care about. We only care about the places and the people that we love, which is why it's so important for me. The number one thing is reconnecting to nature, and one of our group's primary purposes is to provide that. So we organize cleanups, we make sure they're fun, you know, we have refreshments afterwards, we organize nature walks, we do, you know, kind of gardening type activities, so reconnecting people to the land.
So if taking the approach to blaming individuals who litter is not the way, then who should be held responsible for the problem of littering?
Yeah, so the problem, so I did research on this as part of an MA, and I discovered some shocking things. So the problem of litter is its disposability by design. And littering is fueled by manufacturers here who continue to push hard to generate waste for profit. And I will give you a little history lesson on this. Back in the 50s, I read an editorial in the, not, I wasn't around in the 50s, but an editorial from the 50s explains this concept really well. And it says, in a prosperous consumption economy, the factor of disposability is an important key to continuing volume. And in that same decade, at a plastics conference, a speaker said, "Gentlemen, your future is in the garbage wagon." What does that mean? That means that if you want to generate profit, you have to get people to throw things away. So you have to keep making and selling. And so to deal effectively with the problem, we need to target the root cause, which is our throwaway culture. And let's not succumb to historical amnesia. Like, ask your grandma. It wasn't that long ago where we virtually had no plastic waste. And so we have to remember that this is part of the corporate strategy to get us to throw things away. And it's worked, because plastic production will triple by 2060.
And at this stage, I want to bring in two people here in Kerry who are involved with efforts to keep their areas looking lovely and well and litter-free. Jackie Barrett, who's PRO of Listowel Tidy Towns, and Councillor Terry O'Brien, who's involved with similar initiatives here in Tralee. Terry, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to what Leila's had to say?
Morning, Tressa. Good morning, Leila, and good morning, Jackie and Listowel. How are you all? So I was listening. I read Leila's piece and listened to Leila. You know, I suppose it comes across very pleasant and so on. But I can't agree with a lot of what she's saying. I suppose it gets, being someone whose mother was involved in Tidy Towns for many, many years, and whose family are still involved, I think it's more frustrating than Leila comes across. Leila mentions about shaming and denouncing people. We don't name and shame. Actually, we'd like to, but we don't name and shame because we're not allowed to legally. But at this stage, it's so frustrating for people who are involved with Tidy Town cleanups and the likes of at this weekend we'll have the county cleanup. It's very frustrating for the people who are continually cleaning up and doing their bits and pieces, whether it's the council or volunteers, to have the same usually the same people who litter and fly tip and just drop papers on the ground and have no respect. So listen to Leila, she's on about the 1950s. Things have changed considerably since the 1950s, and people have, a lot of people have copped on and seen that the way we're treating our planet, the way we're treating our areas, it's going to be a disaster sooner rather than later, unless we have the volunteers, unless we have the council that get together and do these cleanups and keep our place looking proper. I mean, we fight annually here for our Tidy Towns Awards and our Tidy Counties and all this and so on, and these are all great incentives, but it can get very frustrating when you have people who continually dump, continually fly tip, have no respect. There was a friend of mine up the country. He said he lived a takeaway's drive from the town, and I asked him to explain. He said, "Well, every Saturday and Sunday morning, I have the takeaways that are consumed on a Saturday night outside my door." So that's how he decided he was a takeaway's drive from the town. So the likes of that, it shows no respect. And like, we've reached out, we've done the softly, softly. We go into schools, we meet with groups as counsellors, we talk to them about littering, what's best. We have these, as we said, we have these monthly cleanups, we have these cleanups, we have these electrical, every so often, the electrical gathering where people can bring their electrical gear and dump them. But still, you have people who would prefer to go out in the middle of the night with a trailer full of mattresses and beds and throw them in the side of a field. So, while I understand Leila, and it's a gently approach, I think sometimes the gently approach just doesn't work, and I think the don't be a tosser, what they have in the don't be a tosser, I think that sounds a lot better than maybe the way that Leila's coming across. But look, again, as I said, I've read the document, Tressa. Parts of it are interesting and parts of it are frustrating because of, I suppose, being a family member and being a counsellor and seeing what goes on,
And at this stage, I want to bring in Jackie Barrett, PRO of Listowel Tidy Towns. Jackie, you've heard there Councillor Terry O'Brien, who's involved with Tralee Tidy Towns, respond to the article by Leila Tahiri, recently published in The Guardian, in which she said it's that shaming and denouncing people who litter doesn't work. It hasn't stopped the huge problem of dumping, of fly tipping, of strewning rubbish here, there and everywhere on our towns and countrysides, that we need to try and understand why people do what they do, and instead of taking a blaming, moralistic attitude towards them, we need to take a more thoughtful and understanding stance. What's your response?
Good morning, everybody. I would be very much in the same opinion as what Terry is. We have a very hard-working committee. On reading the article, my first initiative was, well, people have to take responsibility for what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. People have to take that responsibility and own up. The softly-softly approach and naming and shaming, as Terry said, we don't name and shame. We can't do it illegally. It's illegal to do that. But we're not... I mean, we're going out into the schools to teach the children to respect the environment, and as in her article, she has said that you need to have a love my understanding would be for to love your environment, you respect your environment. So we're not dictating to people. We are encouraging, but we are teaching as well that the environment is, and the place where you live is the place where you love, you do respect. We provide, there's banks, closed banks, bottle banks, recycling. Facilities are there for people. There is no need for anybody to go out and fly dip or litter of any description. No. We're always encouraging for shops and companies and that for to reduce the amount of plastics in their wrappings and that. So, like, I can't condone people littering. Full stop. It's not a way of living.
And at this stage, we'll bring back in Leila Tahiri, who's written the article in The Guardian that was recently published. We'll share it on our social media so you can read it for yourself if you have access to the internet, and we'd love to get your thoughts on it. Leila, you've heard there the contributions of two people involved in Tidy Towns initiatives here in County Kerry, Jackie Barrett and Councillor Terry O'Brien. They disagree, and fundamentally they do say it does come down to personal responsibility, no matter what the role is of the kind of economy that we live in. You have to take ownership for your actions.
Absolutely, and I feel their pain, and I don't condone littering, but what I'm saying is that this is a complex issue that's the result of an interplay of several issues, individual factors, but also societal and systemic factors. People are not rational, law-abiding citizens 100% of the time, and that is part of the problem. So we need to acknowledge that and tackle the root of the problem. So Terry mentioned, oh, you've gone back to the 50s. I mentioned the 50s because I want us to remember that this is the strategy has been to increase the amount of waste. So some of that waste, if you think of it like a leakage system, is going to get into our parks and green spaces. We need legislation to reduce plastics. And that is going to be the single most effective thing that is going to deal with littering.
Okay, well, a very interesting discussion, a very thought-provoking discussion, I think. I'd love to get your views. You can text us or WhatsApp on 083 300 3300. Is Leila right? Is Leila right that we need a new approach to tackling litter, that denouncing litter louts doesn't work, condemning their behaviour, saying it's up to you, you have to take responsibility for what you do, and if you throw rubbish, you have to be held responsible and you should be denounced. She's saying that doesn't work, that kind of attitude doesn't work, and we can see it by the problem that we still have a problem with littering everywhere, and it's not just in this country either. Love to get your views on that. Terry O'Brien, Councillor Terry O'Brien, and Jackie Barrett, who are involved in Tidy Towns initiatives here in Kerry, in Tralee and Listowel, respectfully disagree with Leila, and they do feel that ultimately people do have to take responsibility for their actions, and that if you're going out on a Saturday night and you get a takeaway and you bring it back to your car, and then on your way home you throw that out the window, ultimately you can't blame big business, you can't blame the restaurant that you bought that food from, for you dumping, you have to take responsibility for that. I'd love to get your views and comments on 0667123666. And seeing that we're talking about rubbish and littering and how we deal with people who do litter, it's a good time to remind you all. I know Deirdre has done a number of segments on her show in the recent weeks about the KWD County Cleanup, which will be taking place across the county this Saturday coming, and it's the 11th year. It's an initiative with the support of Kerry County Council and KWD Recycling. And I know hundreds of you get involved every year, maybe probably more than hundreds. For more information, go to countycleanup.com, countycleanup.com, and I hope it's a good day. And well done to everyone who's involved with the County Cleanup, which is happening this Saturday. And finally for now, seeing that it's timely, just to mention as well and to say congratulations to Tralee. This is a story we ran earlier this week, and Deirdre featured it on Talk about how the county town has been nominated to take part in this year's Ireland's Best Kept Town competition. Anyway, what are your views? How should we deal with people, or how should we approach people who litter? Let us know. Up next, we'll be talking again, well, about social housing.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, proudly facilitating the annual county cleanup on Saturday, April 15th.
Farmers, reduce your costs and get more value from your slurry by investing in low-emission spreading equipment. Listowel Company KME Agri design and manufacture dribble bars and trailing chutes. You'll be supporting a local business like your own, reducing the cost and use of chemical fertiliser and helping the environment. Phone KME Agri on 068 45005.
Wet weather costing farmers millions. For more in your Farmers Journal, here's Paul Mooney.
Delayed turnout and extra feed and fodder demand is costing farmers 80 million euros per week, up to 300 euros per hectare for multi-species swards. Find out what new cap payment rules mean for wells on farms. Leased land prices hit record high of 680 euros per acre. Questions raised over Ireland's designated land laws and milk price predictions from Tirlawn, Dairy Gold and Lakeland.
Inside this week's Irish Farmers Journal, on sale now.
Radio Bingo on Radio Kerry. Five chances to win, all for just €5. Yeah! There's €400 to be won each weekday, and Friday is jackpot day. The numbers are called out five times each day at 7:50 a.m, 11:10 a.m, 1:45, 3:30 and 10 to 5. You can also find the numbers on radiokerry.ie and our Facebook and Instagram pages. Radio Kerry's Radio Bingo, your chance to win and support four local charities. You're listening to Kerry Today with Trasa Murphy.
And welcome back to the show. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. We're also on Twitter at Kerry Today RK. Keep your comments coming in. It's good to hear from you. Now, we return to the issue of social housing and how much it should constitute of development in this country. Earlier this week, I spoke to Fianna Fáil councillor Michael O'Shea, who's from Milltown. He's of the view that the number of social housing developments in Milltown is squeezing young couples and first-time buyers out of the area, the mid-Kerry area, and he says he's not opposed to social housing, but he says there needs to be a balance, that there are no opportunities to buy privately in the Milltown, mid-Kerry area. Well, it came up again at yesterday's meeting of the Castle Island, Corcaguina Municipal District, where councillors representing those areas held their monthly meeting, I should say. This time, Bobby O'Connell, Councillor Bobby O'Connell, who's with Fine Gael, asked the local authority to ensure that no more than 20% of new homes at a major development plan for Cahernard in Castle Island be allocated for social housing. At the moment, it's planned all 67 houses on the new estate will be reserved for social housing. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Councillor Bobby O'Connell and by Sinn Féin Councillor Cathal Foley. Good morning to you, Bobby. I'll start with you. First of all, Bobby, I know we've spoken to you before on the programme about this particular planned housing development in Castle Island, and you have said that that you would prefer if the development included a mix of private houses as well as social housing. So just to clarify, you support social housing. You would argue you would support social housing, but you believe that there should be a mix of private houses as well. And in this instance, for this estate in Cahernard.
Absolutely. Good morning, Tessa. Good morning, Carl. Yes, look, I've lived in this town all my life. I've been a councillor now for 32 years, and, you know, I think I know what's, I have a fair idea what's required and what is not required. We have an estate right next to my own. It's not 100 yards from my house, where we have the kind of balance that I'm talking about. It's Carrying Heights, where you have an excellent committee there, and they look after the estate very well. You have 16 to 20 social houses, and there's 90 houses there altogether, so you have about 74 private houses there, and it's an excellent example of how a mix like this can work. Back where we are now, where we're relating to those, the new estate that we're talking, it's called Riverside, back in Cahernard. I think it's totally inappropriate that the 68 units will be given to social housing. Not only, what we're talking about here as well, we're squeezing out the squeezed middle, the new poor, as I would refer to them now. I'm talking about the professionals, the people that are holding their own working jobs in the public service and working at large that want to pay a mortgage. They're actually paying more in rent now than they're paying in mortgages. And I think that those developments and houses in those developments should be made available to those people who want to pay their way. You must remember that it's their taxes that are paying to build these houses in the first place. You know, I think that's something that's being missed here. What we're doing here, we're wondering then why these people are going abroad. But you see, we're killing the goose that's laying the golden egg here, Tessa.
Why did you say at the meeting of Castle Island Corcaguina councillors yesterday, why did you say historically social housing estates don't work and a lot of time they lead to antisocial behaviour? What evidence do you have for that statement, Bobby?
Well, what I said was large estates, Tessa. That's what I said. And that's, I don't know how it was picked up. A large estate. And historically, they don't. I mean, we have evidence here in my own town. I have clients here that are on the housing list, qualified on the housing list, paying rent, renting houses that are being offered houses in these in a certain estate in Castle Island and a certain estate in Castle Island, and they won't take them. One house alone, I think we had six or seven. The council had six or seven refusals on it.
Why?
I know. Why? Because they're afraid of antisocial behaviour that's been perpetrated within estates like that. And I mean, what happens is you have a lot of very good natured people that are in there that try to, you know, progress the estate and make it a lot better and cut the grass and do a lot of work there, and they find they're intimidated by the few. But you see, it doesn't happen in smaller estates. Smaller estates are grand. The big estates don't. We've seen that in Limerick. We've seen it all over the country. These big, huge estates, it's a knee-jerk reaction in my book, and it doesn't work. What you want is a proportional balance. And, you know, people put a good social mix in there, and it benefits everybody. The people in the private houses will benefit as well from the people in the social houses, and you get a good social mix, and everybody works much better together. You don't put in 68 units just for social housing. I can assure you it will not work. And you've also a situation where people that are living in Killarney Road all their lives, you're putting 70 social houses right in behind elderly people, and, you know, that have lived in that area. It's not fair. And I can guarantee you now, and I know at this stage, because I'm here long enough, I'm here 32 years, and I'm telling you, that kind of social housing doesn't work.
And at this stage, we will bring in Sinn Féin councillor Cathal Foley, who represents the Tralee Municipal District. Cathal, good morning. Thank you for joining us on the show. You've listened
morning,
there Pastor, to what Councillor Bobby O'Connell has had to say about large-scale social housing developments. He says they don't work. What's your response to what he's had to say?
Well, first of all, I don't think 67 or 68 houses, whatever it is large-scale housing development, Tressa. Saying historically social housing estates don't work, maybe it was the case in places like Dublin and Limerick and Cork in the 60s and 70s and 80s, but times have changed. If you come in here, I can only speak about Tralee, really, because Tralee is where I know. If you come into Tralee, most estates, traditional working-class estates in Tralee, were all built by the council going back over the years, starting back in the 1920s and 30s. And they are the heart of our town here in Tralee. And to say that antisocial behaviour now in large estates, it's just not true anymore, Tressa. If it was true one time, it's certainly not true anymore. Antisocial behaviour goes across all society. I can take you around to housing estates in Tralee with private landlords where there's antisocial behaviour, and it's very hard to deal with. It's very hard to track down who the landlord is. You're going through housing, you're going through estate agents and that. You're trying to go to the Residential Tenancies Board. So antisocial behaviour is across all assets or aspects of society. If you go into in our local newspapers every week and look down through the people who are up in court, they come from all different walks of life and different areas of different of towns in the county. So look, it's hard to know where to start. Bobby has spoken about the housing problem there, and it shows the crisis that we've been in for the last 12 years. We haven't built enough houses. If we're building social houses, take those 67 social houses in Castle Island, the people that will be getting those houses are renting at the moment, or they're living in overcrowded conditions, and they will be moving out, freeing up houses that will either come on the market for sale for first-time buyers, potentially, and also to rent. We had a situation in Tralee last year where we had a number of social houses given out, and it opened up other houses to come on the rental market. It freed up those houses. So I don't see the point that Bobby O'Connell is making. I can't see where he's coming from. And Michael O'Shea's comment the other day was just, it's perplexing, to be honest. Like your last speaker was on there a while ago, she mentioned perplexing. That's perplexing. It just doesn't make any sense. Any houses that are built should be welcomed. It does free up, as I said already, it frees up houses in other areas to come on market for first-time buyers. But like the government have missed all their deadlines with social and affordable housing. There's no affordable housing being built in Kerry. There's no social housing being built this year in Kerry. We're relying now on the assisted housing bodies to build houses for the government, and it doesn't make any sense. We have to build more houses, and I'd prefer to see councillors like Bobby and Michael O'Shea beating down the door of their ministers in Dublin and asking them to fund Kerry County Council to build more social and affordable houses so that everyone can afford to live in their own home and afford a rent and afford a mortgage, because at the moment we're not going to have the traditional developer is not going to build houses for sale, because the cost of building is going astronomical. Anyone that knows anything about building knows that. And B, people can't get the mortgages, so okay. It's not going to happen. So we were going to rely on the state for several more years to build houses, and they just have to get on with it and get it done.
And at this stage, I'll bring back in Fine Gael councillor Bobby O'Connell. Bobby, Sinn Féin councillor Carl Foley's saying there that your position on social houses is perplexing, that we need them, and that the people who move into these social houses, the 67 or 68 in Carnard, when the development is finished, they're going to free up houses. They may be rent, many of them may be renting at the moment. They'll free up the housing supply. It's a good thing. And he finds your position perplexing. What's your response?
Well, my response is, so that works both ways, Tressa. All the people that are renting as well, that want to buy their houses, are also in private rented accommodation, and their accommodation or their houses are going to be freed up for the social sector. What I'm saying is, what we need here is a social mix. We need proportion and we need balance, and it's much better for a society. I've seen examples of it here. Now, what works in Tralee may not work in Castle Island. I have a fair idea what works here. Like I said, I have the estate right next to me here, Caherin Heights. It's a model estate, well run. My colleague Charlie Farley is very involved in that estate back there as well. And, you know, It works fantastic. Everybody, and that's, they are the kind of estates we should be aspiring to. And this is the kind of cultural mix that we need, and bring everybody together and have everybody working together. What I'm saying is that the last big estate that we built in here in this town, it hasn't worked as a social entity. It hasn't worked. I mean, like I said, all the people that are trying to buy, the squeeze middle now, that are trying to buy the houses, and if we create affordable houses, the houses that they are renting at the moment will also come on the market, and that's going to free up houses. I mean, that works both ways. So I mean, look, there's no ultra simplistic solution to this, but I think, you know, that the person that's working and is trying to buy his house, that he has to be given a chance, and I don't think he's getting it. And I think it's a bit duplicitous when a building firm go in and apply for planning permission.
Well, I don't think we'll go into the specifics of that. I don't want to go into the specifics of it. There was nothing wrong with that development.
Why you're protecting them?
No, I'm not protecting them.
I think it's very important that somebody that submits a planning application, that we should know what's happening with it. And I think it was very disingenuous.
Bobby, that's the housing, that company isn't here to defend themselves. So we'll just talk the generality. We'll bear that in mind. Very briefly, Carl, final word to this. We need a mix of social housing development.
Of course we do, Tressa. That's well done. Of course we do. We need a mix. But, like, it's not being done, and that's down to government policy. Like, if you take at the moment, there seems to be this view out there within some quarters that only those that get social housing, that they're not working, they're not paying their way. That's not true. I mean, if you're earning €35,000 or below that, and which an awful amount of people are, that's €673 per week. You're entitled to go on the social housing list. So, I mean, to get a mortgage, you know, at the moment, you'd want to be earning an absolute fortune, because they're just not credible for people to get mortgages, and there needs to be a huge housing program delivered all across the county. Okay. And that's social, a mix of, as Bobby has said, social and affordable. But it shouldn't be put out there that social housing is just for those that aren't working and they pay their way also, in fairness to them.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. You're both agreeing on the fact that a good mix of social and private housing development is the way to go. What are your views on social housing, on the proposal here in Castle Island that 67 or 68 houses will be entirely made up of social housing? Bobby O'Connell says there should be a mix, private and social housing. What are your views? 066-712-3666.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling. Proudly facilitating the annual county cleanup on Saturday, April 15th.
Charge into summer with TUI. Choose from a beach cruise or city break or Mexico, flying direct from Dublin. Holiday sorted. TUI, live happy.
Peace, quiet and tranquility. Three words every couple would love to experience. Add the words luxury, spacious and hotel, and you've got the perfect description of a staycation break this Easter at the four-star Sneem Hotel. Sink into a relaxing seaweed bath. Enjoy amazing locally sourced food in their restaurant, or take the family on a day trip around the stunning Ring of Kerry. De-stress and unwind at the fabulous Sneem Hotel. Book your staycation today at sneemhotel.com.
Audiology Medical Services are pleased to announce the opening of their new state-of-the-art clinic at Killarney GP Medical Centre, our third clinic in Kerry. Experts in adult hearing tests, diagnostic pediatric hearing tests and microsuction earwax removal. Book your free adult hearing screening test today. Free phone 1-800-501-501.
Get super spring deals on Nespresso coffee machines at Harvey Norman. Stand out from the crowd with the colourful and compact Nespresso Virtuo Pop coffee machine. Or go classic with the Virtuo Next coffee machine with up to 5 cup size options. This week, get any Nespresso Virtuo coffee machine at Harvey Norman and claim 50 free Nespresso capsules. Plus, get a free milk frother. Shop Nespresso Virtuo coffee machines from just €99, in-store or online. Super spring deals now on at Harvey Norman. Don't miss out.
There's lots growing in the garden and plenty of jobs to be done. So make sure you keep up with all the latest tips and advice on the Kerry Garden Show in association with Boyles of Killorglin. Join me, Alan Finn, this Saturday from 1:45 as we spring into action with our garden experts to help you look after your garden. Plus, you can watch it on the Radio Kerry Facebook page or on YouTube. That's the Kerry Garden Show this Saturday from 1:45 here on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin for all your home, garden and build needs.
Text Kerry today on 083 300 3300.
Now, a listener has texted the show and says the only cure for littering is heavy fines for those that dump. Hurting them in the pocket and putting cameras in place is the way to tackle people who litter. Another person says, my bins have gone up from €270 to €330 annually. Charles says, people have to take responsibility for their actions. Blaming other things and other factors is a cop-out. People who litter places simply don't care where they throw the litter anyway, and it's never at their own door, notes Charles. A Clarny listener says they have road signs in the US. For example, that one sign shows an owl at a scene and it reads, give a hoot, don't pollute. His name, the mascot, is Woodsy Owl, according to the listener. Thank you for that. Do we need to have a new national anti-littering campaign? And what sort of slogan would you suggest? I'd love to get your slogans and suggestions this morning. You can call us on 066 712 3666. And Tim says, I think rubbish should be linked to the property tax. An extra charge should be put on it and then give a collection to every home in the country, and this would put an end to fly tipping. What do you make of that? And would it be possible, would it be feasible that the majority of waste collection now is done by the private sector? I know in Killarney, bins are the service, there is a service provided by the council, but the vast majority of bin collection in this country now is done by the private sector. Let us know your views. Give us a call, 066 712 3666 or text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Now, we've been talking about the Joe Biden visit, and of course, Joe Biden's nemesis, the former president, Donald Trump, has had this to say about Joe Biden's visit to Ireland.
He's now in Ireland. He's not going to have a news conference. When the world is exploding, I own property in Ireland. I'm not going to Ireland. The world is exploding around us. You could end up in a third world war, and this guy's going to be in Ireland and not having a news conference. He hasn't had a news conference, I guess, in months.
And that's Donald Trump. The world is exploding and he's in Ireland. What's he up to, Joe Biden? That's the take from Mr. Trump. I saw somebody on Twitter there saying that Fall to Ireland should adopt that as a slogan. When your world is exploding, come to Ireland. When things are a bit too crazy or you're stressed out, come to Ireland. That it could be adapted for a new tourism campaign. What do you make of that? Coming up next on the second hour of Kerry Today, we'll bring you the news at 10, of course. We'll be speaking to the new custodians of the Great Blasket Island. And also, well, is there some good news afoot for people who have mortgages at the moment? And is there some light in the horizon? I know it's been difficult over the last number of months for them. And we'll also be coming to more of your views and your comments. But news first at 10 is on the way.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, proudly facilitating the annual county cleanup on Saturday, April 15th.
It's almost 10 o'clock. Neuex Newman's Tralee. A great excuse to change your kitchen.
It's Neuex Newman's Kitchen Sports Day.
Sheila here from the multi-award-winning Kinmare Bay Hotel. Are you looking for the perfect wedding venue? Why not come and meet our dedicated wedding team, view our stunning new wedding decor and styling, and chat about our exciting new wedding menu options? Visit kinmarebayhotel.com. Brides of Munster Destination Wedding Venue of the Year 2023.
Are you looking to transform your home?
With high quality furniture, bathware, tiles and flooring for every room in the house, look no further than Fitzgibbon Interiors. We have all the latest styles and designs to suit every taste and budget. So call to our showrooms in Manor West Retail Park, where our expert team will help you create the home of your dreams.
This is Peter O'Mahony, Grand Slam winner and brand ambassador for Audi Cork. Their winning annual used car sale is now on. Hundreds of thousands of savings across the Audi Approved Plus range, including the A4, Q5 and Q7. Flexible finance options and free service plan on all cars. Sale now on and open Sunday 12 till 4. See audicork.ie.
How would you like to walk the cobbles of Coronation Street? Watch a goal scored from the Stretford End? Or simply take in the sights and sounds of Manchester? Whatever sparks your interest, tune in to Talk About all this week as Deirdre teams up with Cork Airport to offer you the chance to win a pair of return flights to Manchester with Ryanair. Thanks to Cork Airport.
Call Kerry today on 066 712 3666.
Now, before 10 o'clock, we were speaking to Fine Gael councillor Bobby O'Connell from Castle Island and Sinn Féin councillor Cathal Foley from Tralee about recent discussions and recent comments made in the past week or so by Kerry councillors, including Bobby O'Connell. Bobby O'Connell has condemned at yesterday's meeting of the Castle Island Corcaguina Municipal District, he condemned the decision that all the houses in a new housing estate of 67 or 68 houses, I think, Cahernard will be for social housing. Bobby O'Connell says there should be a mix of private and social housing. And he also said at the meeting that that historically large-scale social housing estates don't work, and a lot of the time they lead to antisocial behaviour. Now, Cathal Foley was disputing this and also was questioning whether 67 or 68 houses would constitute a large-scale housing development as well, but said that that social housing is needed given the housing crisis we have at the moment. But also in general terms, agreed with Councillor O'Connell that